the buzzer been poured on its way. Oh, oh my goodness. Oh.
They have to get it. No timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Hey, welcome to the world's greatest podcast, a.k.a. Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. He's got a great guest today. You're going to have a blast with Seth, myself, and the great Rex Chapman. We're going to go through his whole life story, including where he's at right now with the most popular Twitter account in all of the universe.
He's the man. Hey, what a great story, too. He's such a he was a great player, I mean, in the NBA forever. But what he's doing now, to me, is almost as impressive as his playing career. But two things we need to touch base before we get to Rex. We've got to mention our friends at LinkedIn Jobs. When it comes to hire, I know that finding the right person for your company can be challenging. It's almost like being on the recruiting trail. Obviously, you and I, if we were better at that, we wouldn't be talking to each other.
Well, this is especially true in a small business or any team where every employee truly impacts your organization. So when you're ready to find the next hire, LinkedIn can help. LinkedIn Jobs matches your role with qualified candidates so you can find the right person quickly, Seth Greenberg.
Yeah, no doubt about it. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with 675 million members worldwide. That's more than points you score when you play. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills you're looking for so you can hire the right person faster. For things like collaboration, creativity, and adaptability, all important qualities in a great teammate, and it's all about teammates. LinkedIn looks beyond just hard skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates every day so it's seen by people looking for jobs like yours.
That's why companies rate LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for developing quality hires. Find the right person for your business with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/courtside. Again, that's LinkedIn.com/courtside to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Also, check out the latest episode of First Draft. Mel Kiper Jr. and Chris Sproul go through all 32 teams and name the most underrated player selected by each team in last week's draft. Find it wherever you get your podcast. I know, D-Squared, you will be locked in to find out who the underrated player for the Indianapolis Colts would be.
Darn right. I'm going to listen to that podcast.
All right, well, let's welcome in Rex Chapman, better known as Sexy Rex, a Big Blue Nation legend. So, Rexy, how did you get stuck with me and Dockage tonight? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. We appreciate you being here and kind of kicking back and talking a little ball and stuff. We appreciate you being here, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. I'm happy to be here. We're all probably sitting here because we're too opinionated to be on the sidelines somewhere.
Don't get Dockage started. We're trying to keep him employed right now.
Yeah.
So we're trying to minimize his damage most times.
I got it. Harvard, huh? I'm just glad you don't have a Hoosier hat on, man.
No. I wouldn't do that. But I would say, I remember, let's go back in the day with you. Like, what would it have cost somebody to be on a call with you back in the day when you were the boy king? You couldn't just call up Rex Chapman and do a video chat. There's no way. That was $5,000 it cost some paying, right?
Yeah, right. And now I'm paying people to have me on. You know.
Hey, let me ask you. Speaking of that, you read this stuff about the name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, I did.
All right. What is your, like, Rex Chapman,
tough, man.
Lexington, Kentucky, what is your take on that? Because, I mean, Dan says it, but you are bigger than life, dude.
What I don't like about it right away is, you know, I don't want college kids driving, you know, whatever they want, as much money as you can put in their pockets. You know, you still got to be on a college campus. You got to be humble. You got to learn. And then what happens if you're not a very good player, but you still are marketable and all that? Your shirt sale and all that stuff, but you come off the bench and you won't listen to the coach. I think there are a lot of problems in there. However, that being said, I know going back, shoot, when I was at UK, you remember, you guys remember, they were selling, you know, I Love Rex shirts all the time. I never saw any of that, you know. Thinking back, should I have? I don't know either. We came up in a different era where, you know, none of this was even discussed. I do appreciate that these kids can earn something other than their scholarship while they're in school. But I think it brings up a lot of things. You know, are the women's sports going to be, is it going to be an equitable thing? Is it, I think there are a lot of questions about it.
Rex, I was going to say, you would have made a lot of money. Alford would have made a lot of money.
Yeah.
People asked me back in the day, I said, you know, Rex Chapman in Kentucky would have made a ton. Alford would have made a ton. How do you think, you obviously, I mean, and I mean this, you were bigger than life, superstar. How would it have been in the locker room for you? Not only your notoriety, but now you're making a lot of money and other guys aren't. Would that have changed the dynamic some for you?
Are we? I was going to go somewhere I shouldn't have gone.
You don't want to go there.
No, what I'll say to that, it's a great question, and you already know the answer, I think. When I got to school, I was a freshman. You know, Dan, I'd watched you play at Indiana. I grew up getting more Indiana games than I did Kentucky games, being on Central Time Zone. So I had watched you guys play. I had an unbelievable amount of respect for the guys on the team before I got there. You know, I grew up watching Ed Davender and James Blackman, and now I'm in their backcourt. However, as a freshman, I go in there and, you know, I got a target on my back. I'm the kid who's been, you know, around the state for the last couple of years, tearing it up and this and that. And I wanted to come in and prove myself. But I'll say, I can't imagine being paid more money than all the other guys. You're just coming in. I can't imagine making more money. And then on top of it, I'll never forget this. And I appreciate it to this day. But Eddie Sutton, my college coach, first day of practice, I'm kind of nervous and I've muddled through the preseason conditioning and, you know, I'm beaten down. And we start like a 3-on-2, 2-on-1 break, first day of practice. And some guy gave it to me. I gave him a little touch pass back dunk. Eddie stopped practice and said, "That's why he's the best player out here." And I wanted to run and hide. And I'm looking around and, so there's already pressure on you. I know it's different now. These kids don't play with juniors and seniors who are going to go on and play in the NBA for the most part. So it was a different landscape, but it's a valid question. I think there has to be some sort of formula, how you modify it and moderate it, I should say. Modify it. Yeah. It's tough.
Think about where you are right now. So like Kentucky. You go to Kentucky, say back in this, if it was this era,
yeah,
right, and you get on Twitter. How many Twitter followers, if you were playing at Kentucky now, like you could have had a half million, a million Twitter followers, and you could have monetized just that by being an influencer. I mean, like the guys at Kentucky now, they're bigger than life on social media, right?
They are, but I couldn't have played basketball and done social media at the same time. And when I say that, I finished playing right when Twitter and all that stuff was coming out in the early 2000s. And Steve Nash, one of my best friends, Stevie, was still playing, of course, and he was setting up some kind of thing he had to do on social media that day. And they're playing that night. And I'm going, what? What I couldn't do that. I couldn't think and do all kinds of other stuff and still be a good basketball player. I just couldn't. And I definitely couldn't have done it in college. I can't imagine trying to keep up and seeing what people are saying and this and that. And you know, kids do. It was hard enough not looking at the newspapers, guys, right? When you're coming up. And so I think it raises a lot of questions. It's tough. But you're right. And then they're going to be the haves and the have-nots. Of course, the kids at Kentucky are going to, you know, do well, probably IU, Carolina, all the big-name programs. But then there's going to be a dramatic drop-off, I think, as you go, you know, to the mid-majors and on the low-majors. So I think it would have been, you can look at it and say, oh, it would have been great. I also think it would have, for me anyway, it probably would have de-incentivized being a great basketball player.
Oh, that's a great point.
I'm already at 18. You know, I'm not even, say you're not even starting on your college team, but you're making, you know, I don't know what the amount of money is. It wouldn't have been good for me. That's all I'm saying.
See, the thing that interests me about this, and I don't care what kids make, that's fine.
Yeah.
But man, we don't listen to you, or we don't listen to Seth or guys that have been myself, that have been in coaching. We yeah. listen to what the cool kids are saying, the blogger boy, the cool websites, the guys that say, this is all great for kids. You lived it, and you're sitting right here saying it would not have been good for me. That's
I'm saying,
strong.
Yeah, I'm saying it might not have. Now, when I say that also, you know, there were plenty of perks for me playing at Kentucky. So, but not like what we're talking about. I do think for some, if I go back and I go back to my college team, Richard Madison, McDonald's All-American, Cedric Jenkins, McDonald's All-American, Winston Bennett, McDonald's All-American, Rob Locke, on and on, Eric Manuel and LaRon Ellis and all that. Now, almost none of those guys went on and had NBA careers. Winston played for a year or two. Eric didn't. LaRon may have for a year or two. You know, Ed Davenport, McDonald's, on and on and on. I don't know. It's tough.
Let me ask you this. Like, in Kentucky, I mean, look, it's bigger than life. And in Indiana's bigger than life, right, Dan? But, like, how many guys? Like so say Cal carries 10 guys.
Yeah.
Kentucky has great fans, all right? I mean, they're passionate. They love Kentucky. They're wealthy people there. And, you know, so what type of ways, like, when you look at a place like Lexington, would it be an appearance at a car dealership? Would it be an appearance at a restaurant? Would it be like, do you think that there are guys even at Kentucky where maybe it would be a shoe contract today, but a smaller level? Hell, no one sells shoes but Jordan and yeah. one or two other guys anyway. So what type of, like, you guys played at big time schools. Yeah. What type of deals, Dan, do you, besides appearances, running a camp, doing other things, what type of deals, big time deals, do you think would be available if it wasn't through social media? I mean, do you guys have a take on that?
I think Lexington's different than Bloomington. But I've always said this about Bloomington. Bloomington itself doesn't support IU like Lexington. Now, there's not big business in Bloomington. It's a small college town. I remember when Isaiah Thomas, my freshman year, came with the Pistons to play the Pacers in Assembly Hall. 2,000 people, maybe.
Yeah.
You take you playing for Phoenix coming in to play whoever, you're right. going to get 20, you know.
Yeah.
Bloomington's different. I think Lexington, I think Arkansas, I think Ohio State, business, towns, no pro sports. I think those kind of places would have real opportunity for a guy like Rex.
I think they would. I agree with that, Dan. I also think you think about talking about a shoe deals are where guys are going to make
right.
most of their endorsement money. You think about a kid like, well, myself or John Wall coming to Kentucky to play for Cal. It's kind of sexy. Or going to Louisville to play for Rick back in the day or whatever. It's kind of sexy. And if he decides, I think there would be a market there, you know, go to Kentucky. Cal lets you play, lets you do what you do. I think there's a market there for the guys to make more money on a shoe deal if they go to Kentucky. And I think that's kind of unfair. The other thing that I don't like making money off an autograph. I think that that's ridiculous. And I can only imagine. I go down here, you can go to Bloomington. There are players on the team who could go every weekend to a little county out here and, you know, sell their autographs at the little, you know, downtown, wherever, whatever it is, or at the high school. They might not even be playing on the team. They might just be, I know, I'm for real. And they might, and how that doesn't make sense to me. And I think you get a little bit of a warped perspective on it. And when you talk about, we talk about amateurism and all that stuff. You know, if you're in college, and look, college is not for everyone. I didn't like college. I didn't really have any interest in being in college, and I attacked it that way. And that's probably why I've had issues for a long time. I was just focused on playing basketball. I don't know. I'm losing my train of thought. Anyway, sorry.
No, I mean, I think it's really interesting because you're talking, like, you two guys represent two really, really tradition rich programs.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, you were on a team that won a national championship, right?
No.
No,
you didn't. Yeah. But you were, Rex. Did you win a national championship?
No.
You're sitting with a couple losers, Seth. It's just losers.
But I mean, like, but you guys are within your communities, you were bigger than life. Yet, like to me, a kid today, the mindset is totally different. Like, I have no problem with the guys monetizing. Let me ask you, imagine you walked up to Coach Sutton and said, Coach Sutton, after practice Friday, I know we have a game Saturday, I've got a chance to make $2,000 to do an appearance at, you know, the Establishment X. I'm going to miss film tonight, but I'll be ready to go tomorrow. How'd that go?
No chance. We'll be fine another school. This is a throwback, a little bit of, he wouldn't have accepted. I mean, that's just silly, man. That's just to me. But I don't know if you guys know this story, and I just thought about it. Dan, when I was in high school, Bobby was recruiting me, and I wasn't going to go play for Bobby just because he reminded me of my dad and how my dad coached. And my dad's great. He was a great basketball coach, Division II. They won a couple of titles. But I wasn't that tough yet, or tough at all. I don't know. I just wasn't going to go play for Bobby. But still, it was kind of cool having Bobby recruit me. And so I had, back in the day, I was going into my senior year, and, you know, you narrow your choices down. Well, the way you did that then is you gave a little thing to the local press, you know, handwritten, saying, here are my five final school. So I did that in the afternoon. That night, so this hasn't run yet. That night, Bobby calls me and says, hey, Rex, look, and we're setting up in visits at the school visits, and we'd really like to get you on campus. And I said, Coach, I just narrowed my choices today, and I got right there, and click, he hung up the phone. He could tell what was coming and hung up the phone on me. Now, okay, so that's the last thing. That's my last image of Bobby Knight. So now, fast forward a year, and we're playing you guys. It's probably my third or fourth college game. We're playing you. You're on the bench, I think, at that time, Dan, coaching, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and, you know, you guys were great. In fact, you won it that year. It's Alford, Dean Garrett, Keith Smart. So that's my third or fourth college game. And I go in there, and they threw, wouldn't have been Steve Isle. It'd have been something like that at me. You know, a bunch of big seniors. Well, I had a pretty good game. I think Steve got 26, and I got 26 overtime, and they won. And as we're walking off the court, Coach Knight comes up to me, puts his arm around my neck, and said, I'm really sorry for hanging up on you. El player. All right, it gets better. That summer, can you cuss on here or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Cal figured out.
Okay. That next summer, I go to I'm in college. Ramil Robinson and I, who were good buddies, were same high school class. We go to Five Star to be counselors for guard, and so we're there as counselors. Ramil's at Michigan. He hasn't played yet, though, at Prop 48, and I'm rising sophomore. We're there, and we have the draft. You know, you draft your team. I drafted my team. The next day, I'm at practice, and Coach Knight walks up and says, hey, come here. And I walk over the chain link fence. My team's practicing, and he goes, you drafted my son last night. And I had no idea he had a son at all. I had no idea I'd drafted Patrick. And he says to me, listen, and I'm 18 or 19. Patrick's probably 16. And he said, listen, Patrick is a. And in his ass all week long. I said, Coach, he said, let's go to lunch. I met him up at the cafeteria for lunch. He said the same thing. I said, I'll do my best. I'll do my best. And so after that, we played you guys again the next year. Fast forward in the Big Four. Played you in the Big Four. You guys had Jay Edwards, and we beat you guys in overtime that year. After game, press conference. I go up into the press conference, and I'm waiting. Coach Knight is at the podium with his player. They've just lost, and I'm standing back in the back with Eddie, ready to go up to the podium. And somebody says to him, asking the question, well, what'd you think of Chapman? He said, he was terrible. He hurt him all night and made some plays late. That's it. And he was right. He was completely right.
welcome to Dan's. Dan, that was your world for how many years?
I love that
16 years.
You know what? Hey, the next year I coached Patrick at 5-star. He was in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's funny. He came up to me and basically said, he didn't call him that. He just said, look, kick his ass. Coach him hard, kick his ass.
Yeah, you know.
And I said, well, I mean, it's not like I'm going to kiss his ass. I mean, it's just.
Well, what's funny, too, is the other part about that is I never really told Patrick that. And we never really crossed paths a lot. But in the last few years, we have. So I've gotten to know Patrick a little bit more as an adult. And I was telling him this story, and he said, yeah, you know what's funny, Rex, is that he had it out for you. He either was going to get you or you were not going to be any part of what he was not going to have anything to do with you. He said, and here's why, because when you were a freshman at UK, he said there was some article that ran that put out a poster of me, and Patrick had it on his wall at his house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a true story. I remember that. I do.
And Bobby would have to walk past it every day.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. That pissed right? him off. Telling me, I was like 24. You maybe my goddamn son has Rex Chapman on the wall. I'm like, all right,
that's as good as it gets. That's
great.
Hey Rex, so let me ask you, give me your best Jordan story because you owned him.
No, yeah, I owned him.
I owned him. Dockett says he owned him.
I saw that video.
That was one video.
It was a good one.
Yeah. If you're going to have a good one, have it that night. But, one of my playing against him was a nightmare. I will tell you this. This is great into his psyche, but remind me to tell you about the bowling alley. All right. So that game that you guys watched where we beat them, they went 72-10 that year. They came to South Beach. They partied the whole night. We only had 8 available players. They took us so lightly, and we beat them. We sneaked them. And we played them at our place 2 weeks later. Now, Michael and I go way back. Dean had Michael call me when he was just in the NBA. I was still at Apollo High School. And then we had the same agent, and we played golf in the summers, and we'd go bowling. And do all, so he's my guy. And we beat them. I got 39. And we played them 2 weeks later at our place. Now, we're boys. But it's a different era. You don't play nice, not at all. However, that game, jump ball, the very next game after I've torched them, jump ball, the second the ball went in the air, cracked me right in the sternum. I mean, and he got my sternum. And I kind of jumped back and I went, it's going to be like that tonight. Guess what? It was. He got 40, didn't play the fourth quarter. I think I went 3 for 13 for 13 points. And they beat us. And then they swept us 3-0 in the playoffs in the first round like we were a JV team. He was unbelievable. But the bowling alley, now this is we went bowling one night. I was probably a rookie, second-year guy. We go bowling. We're going to play the next night. It's myself, Michael, Fred Whitfield, his boy from way back who – runs the Hornets now, and a couple other guys. And Michael's, he's up. He's rolling. Well, you know how the balls, occasionally the pins will get stuck. You got to roll another ball down the gutter to So Michael's telling us a story. He's facing us. We're all looking out at the bowling lane. He's telling us something, and somebody alerts him that the pins are stuck and goes, "Hey, M, fix that." This man reaches over, 17-pound bowling ball, sucked it up without using the holes, picked it up, and threw it backwards, back down the lane to reset the pins like it was nothing.
Now, get out of here.
And I looked at the other guys, and he didn't even blink. And I know he knew what he was doing because that's intimidating as shit. Anyway, he didn't even blink. He didn't even blink. And I looked at his, and they all looked at me like, "Oh, you didn't know he could do that?" Yeah, he can do that. I do mean to tell you, and you guys know what hands can mean in basketball. You go back to Dr. J, had those hands.
Yo.
Michael, those hands. Kawhi Leonard has those hands. Otis Thorpe, different random guys, but you can see it. Amari Stoudemire. If you can take that thing and it's, you know, you cover more than half the ball with your hand, it's a different game. You're going after the ball with two hands. Most everybody else is. If you can grab it as it's going one way and grab it and suck it back the other and be gone. Michael was playing a different game. Also, his competitiveness and will to win. I'm supposed to hate him, but I love him. Love him to death.
What do you think watching as an NBA guy and a competitor? What do you think of The Last Dance?
Love it. It's weird because we were all kind of going. I was still playing. I played all during and through Michael's career. Also, Michael's mother and father and family lived in Charlotte. So I saw them at all of our home games, James. And I still, I'm sure we'll get to some of that. So I've been through a lot of that stuff with them. What I love more than anything are the things that I'm finding out now that I've never known. And it has really little to do with basketball. I had no idea. And I've known Scotty forever. Texted him the other night, said, "Hey man, thinking about you." I had no idea that his dad had a stroke and was in a wheelchair, and that he had his brother then was paralyzed and in a wheelchair. And you just never know people's story. You can generalize and think you know people all you want. And when I say that, I mean in every walk of life, literally sports related, race related. You never really know someone until you sit down with them and talk to them and figure out their pain and the stuff that they've been through that's made them, help make them what they are.
So what'd you think? What'd you think about Phil Jackson and Rodman? Hey, take 48 hours.
It's a pretty amazing thing. Would have never happened if he needed Dennis for 30 points. They needed Dennis to do what he does and buy in. And I think it's genius. Now, you also couldn't have done it if you didn't have Michael, if you didn't have Scotty. If you notice, they sent one person after him to Vegas, which, by the way, oh, Michael, I want you to go to Vegas. No, I don't want to go. Yeah, okay. But they sent one person to go get him, the one person they knew would come to he'd come to the door for. So I think it was pretty, it was ballsy, of course. But look, man, they were sort of playing with house money too at that time.
I thought Jordan was genius when he said, "Hey, you're not getting it back. You let him go."
Yeah, that's right.
He ain't coming back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Michael too. That's the other part about this. And I was talking with Buzz Peterson last week after the first one. And I'm just so proud of Michael Jordan. I'm proud of that guy. Did you see his interviews from high school, guys? Of course you did. You saw him in college, young kid, very bashful, didn't really want to talk a whole lot. He became, and we can argue this, I'm sure, but I remember growing up in the 80s and coming up in the 90s and everything. Back before social media, there were only two people really, two or three in the world that, had to if they wanted to go see a movie with their kids, you'd have to shut the theater down for. Or if they wanted to go shopping with their wife, they'd shut Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson. And Michael's that type of celebrity. He still is. I'm just proud of what he's done. And to be able to manage everything that he's done interview-wise and business-wise, coming from where he came from, I'm happy. I'm happy for him. I really am. And I'm really glad that they decided to do this, because he doesn't talk a lot about any of this stuff. I loved seeing him talk about Isaiah. I loved hearing him say Scottie Pippen's the best teammate, greatest teammate I've ever had. I love that.
What'd you think when he rolled his eyes, though, when Scottie had his migraine?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he had a migraine.
And listen, here, I'll tell you, David and I, Michael and I had the same agent, David Falk. I knew what their deal was at first. And at initially, I think Michael would admit it. He was skeptical of how hard or how soft Scottie was. And I know this too. It's a difficult thing coming to the NBA. It's one thing going from high school to college where you're playing against guys 2 and 3 years older to going in and you're 18 or 19 or 20 and playing against guys 30 years old. So it takes a whole other, and Scottie also didn't play big time college basketball. So he had to learn playing against the best. He didn't go to the camps. He didn't do any of that stuff. He had to learn under fire, and also with Michael yelling at him every single day. And Michael is that guy. And they're going to get into some more stuff, I know, with Michael and probably Steve Kerr. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff there. What I find fascinating and I love is that every time they ask Steve, you know, well, tell us about, you know, why was it so good? He goes straight back to Michael. We had Michael. And Michael was different, man. You know, as players, we don't want to give it up like that. And we definitely didn't when we were playing. Looking back, never seen anything like him. Nothing like him.
Rex, when you look back at your entire career, you know, coming up as the Boy King and in Kentucky and going through, and just in a basketball sense, you lived up to what the expectations were and more. Do you look back on things? And when you do you look back on successes or do you look back on failures or do you look back on both?
It's a great, I'm glad you asked. For the most part, I look back on failures. And when you say that, I appreciate you saying that, Dan, I really do. I don't feel that. And here's why. I was the player of the year in high school basketball. I was an All-American at UK in a couple years, and I made the All-Star team one time, dislocated my ankle that day, replaced before I got out of surgery in the All-Star game. I couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, really, I'm a point guard size. I was, you know, Michael and those guys are 6'6". I'm almost 6'4". So I was playing a little bit. I wasn't as good as those guys. I wasn't as big as those guys. You know, I was middle of the way through on the two guards list during that era. I look at the failures. I hear in my mind all the talent in the world couldn't really put it together. You know, couldn't really sustain it. But I also know when I was healthy, I was pretty good. So I do. And the other part of this, guys, and I'll go into it for a second. We all grow up. Seth, you wanted to grow up, whatever you wanted to do, be a basketball player, be a basketball coach. Dan, same. You're a player, you're a coach. You guys do what you do now. That's what I wanted my story to be too. I wanted it to be all about the basketball, and I f***ed it up. And now that's not my story. My story is drugs and the opiates, the painkillers. And, you know, I've had people, they did an E60 a few weeks ago. I guess you guys may have seen.
Right.
I thought it was well done. People kept coming up to me and saying, you know, oh, man, I saw it. It was great. And what I hear, and I appreciate it, but what I hear is every time I want to respond, yeah, but I still stole something in there. And that's the only thing that I think of is me getting arrested. That's public. And I joke about it. I try to joke about it, but it really is to keep from crying, because when I really think about it, and it's really not about the act and what I did, it's just about, it's scary knowing that you're supposed to spend your life on the tracks. You can't get too far off the tracks. And sure, I've always liked to color outside the lines a little bit, but it scares me to think that, you know, it scares me to think that I can go off the tracks like that.
Dude, first of all, I mean, again, you know, I know you through obviously basketball and five star, and we've known each other for a long time. Like, first of all, your story is incredible as a player. How many years you played in the league?
12.
12 years only. How many dudes played in the league 12 years? Here's the deal. You played in at the highest level. I call it an exclusive club. So, like, we live in an era now where all these guys think, well, I'll just go to the NBA. I'm going to go to college 1 year. I'm going to go to the NBA. They don't realize this is a freaking exclusive club for the very best of the best.
Yeah.
You were part of that club for 12 years. You got off the tracks. One thing is getting off the tracks. I don't want to get a tangent. It is a whole lot harder to get back on the tracks than get off the tracks. And like your story to me, and like the, I thought our people did a good job of the E60 story. Like your story to me is incredible, because not only did you get back on the tracks, but now you're using your story to help others. You're using your story to raise money for the coronavirus relief funds. You're using your story to basically say, you know, this happened. Yeah. And it's like everyone says, it's not what happens to you. It's, you know, how you respond to what happens to you. Man, I think your story is incredible and impacting so many freaking people. I mean, if you can see the picture of Dawkins, look at him now. Look at his story.
This is a bad story.
Serious. Would you agree, Dan? His story is amazing to me.
Well, thank you.
No, I'm telling you, and you know, it's so funny when, you know, you hear I had all the talent in the world. People forget there's a lot of dudes in that league with a ton of talent, man. It's like you grew up in a lot of ways. I mean, we all did that from Indiana or Kentucky. We grew up in a little vacuum, right? We're the greatest because, you know, we did it, your high school or my.
Right.
But God damn, man. I know coaching against you as an assistant was hell. I remember I followed you. I never met you until recently, but I followed you. I'm like, holy shit, is this guy good? So that's why I asked you, because most guys, I find this in coaching, and every coach that I know, you know, you win a championship. Okay. You retire or get fired 20 years later. You didn't even think about that. You think about, God damn it.
Should have
blocked out.
Yeah.
You know, if we block out, we win it. You know, I mean, you think about those things. You think about the failures more than you do the good stuff. Always in life, it seems.
Good point. Yeah, yeah. And you got to be grateful for the good stuff. And I think playing for me, I really worked at it. I was eating up with it. I was a basketball addict above all else for a long, long time. I don't know. Lost my train of thought again.
Well, I got a question just from the bottom of my heart. And like I said, we know each other way from faster. Yeah. Well, I think what you're doing now is incredible. And it's one of the great things about Kentucky is how beloved you are by the Kentucky family, which I think is really cool. But I got a question for you. Where do you find these freaking videos?
No. Where do you find these?
Man, it's so silly. It is so crazy, guys. I have no idea. I've battled some depression over my life and the painkiller stuff. I've been a lot of therapy trying to get here. And I want to say that guys like Cal, guys like Rick Pitino, these guys, who are my friends from way back, you know, you guys doing this, all of this stuff is part of my story. And I couldn't be more appreciative. I've had some really great friends and some really good opportunities come my way after I got in trouble. And so thank you all. Thank you all for that. This video stuff, I stumbled onto it. It's so dumb. I can't even begin to say it. I now do a show on, Adult Swim Cartoon Network with my childhood buddy. We went preschool together. It's basically America's Funniest Videos. We can cuss, and called Block or Charge. It's the dumbest thing ever. So I can't, you know, and again, a few years ago, I was kind of napping in my car at times and living on friends' couches. So it's just also sort of surreal. I wanted off of social media about a year and a half ago. I hated the toxic political climate. But you know, as you guys know, we need a little social media presence. People that hire us want us to have that now. You know, it helps. So just that seriously, one day I saw a video of a dolphin, school of dolphins swimming into shore, a guy paddleboarding out. Dolphin jumps up, hits him square in the chest. And I said to myself, just as I'm sitting here, I go, oh, that's a f-ing charge. My feet were set and I tweeted it out and people thought it was funny. And that's it. That's really it from there. And then I thought, oh, great. I don't have to think about anything on social media. I can just put out these silly videos. And it's just kind of, it's kind of taken on a life of its own. The coolest part about it is so many members of the media, you know, national media, local media, guys I grew up watching, Dale Murphy, you know, baseball players, former NFL players, athletes, entertainers, so many people followed this silly account. That we were able to raise a couple $100,000 for COVID relief that we've donated in New York, New Jersey, some here in Kentucky. We still have more to give out for, you know, PPE and first responders and a lot of food banks. So that's the coolest part about all of this for me is that I think if nothing else is good, that's good, I think.
Dogs, bro.
Yeah. Dogs. You can't go wrong. How did he go wrong with dogs? You guys have dogs, please.
Oh, shoot. My man Jake, the Wonder Dog's not happy because I didn't let him in here because he's been at the door and I started this. I didn't want to get up again. Jake, the Wonder Dog. I wouldn't survive without Jake, the Wonder Dog.
I know. I know, man. Dogs. You can't go wrong with dogs.
So do you find them? Do people send them to you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I find a lot of them. I'll just be sitting around and I'll see something. I'll take some time out of the day and say, all right, let me find some videos. And then if I do, I'll either put one out or I'll bank it. I'll just kind of put it in a draft folder, know that it's there. And at some time I can go back and get it. I got hundreds of those in my phone, but I do have a handful of really good, sort of a group, of people on social media that I've never met. That they just sort of like the same things that I like, and they'll send me a video in the morning, be like, this might be good on your page, and I'll look at it, and sure enough, so I'll write a little caption and put it out. It's really easy now. At the beginning, it was harder. Now, it's really easy.
What do you want to be doing 10 years from now, Rex?
I hopefully just this stuff. I in basketball, I'm so thrilled, Seth, to be back in basketball, even if it's just on the periphery, you know, talking about Kentucky basketball or NBA TV, which I do. I'm so happy because that, you know, as much as you don't want to identify, you know, want certain things to identify you, basketball, I've just been so blessed with this game. It's given me everything. It gave my mom and dad everything. You know, my dad's a lifelong basketball guy. Sure. I'm so happy and fortunate to be back in the game of basketball and being able to talk about basketball and not, you know, I go and I speak about opioids and whatnot. It's a breath of fresh air when I get to talk about basketball. So I'm happy doing this. I'm enjoying being in Lexington, Cal, UK. They've been so good to me. You know, I came back here 3 or 4 years ago. I went in to talk to Cal and, you know, he gave the go ahead for them to bring me back to do, you know, Kentucky basketball pregame stuff. And I've been doing it ever since. You know, I look at guys like he, like Rick Pitino. They're guys I grew up watching and, I'm just fortunate to have some really good friends.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I appreciate you doing this, man. I think the world of you, and we go back way.
Yeah.
So anything ever I could do.
Thank you.
You have a friend here, and I get excited and look forward to, you know, joking with him when we get to Lexington for those games. I think you're great for our game. I think your story is great. I think you care about people.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the things to me. You know, I'm just a fire basketball coach now. Like, I'm a lot like you. I love the game. I'm lost in the game. I care about the people of the game. I care about the coaches, the players. And seeing you at Kentucky before the game and seeing you interact and how much those people care about you and vice versa, how, you know, love's a two-way street, to me is really, really cool. And
I appreciate it. I will say this, and I'll we can get off. Interacting with these players here has been one of the more rewarding things I've done in basketball the last few years, because it's hard playing at Kentucky. It wasn't hard for me playing at Kentucky. And for, you know, it wasn't that hard for Jamal Mashburn and Dan Issel and Kenny Walker and all that. It's hard here. And when you don't make it here, it can be crushing. And so being able to kind of, not in any official capacity, but just seeing guys at practice, putting an arm around them and, you know, that they somehow know me. So they kind of trust me. Some of that's been, it's been just terrific. And especially to see a kid like Nick Richards this year, who couldn't even look you in the eye, couldn't look you in the eye 3 years ago to have a conversation and look at him. And when he gets drafted, I think it's Cal's greatest job of taking something from nothing and turning it into a first round pick, because there was nothing there, you know. Yep. Anyway, thanks.
That's the most appreciated thing. Well, hey, stay in touch. Stay safe, man.
Hey, thanks to Rex Chapman. Seth, once again, you did an absolutely great job getting a fantastic guest. And thanks to everybody. Make sure you go and rate us. Rate us well, because we deserve it. We're giving you quality hoops talk during a pandemic, Seth. Nobody better than that. Come on.
No doubt about it. World's Greatest Podcast. There's a reason we're the World's Greatest Podcast.
All right. We'll talk to you again. Our discussion with Rex Chapman about The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.